Welcome to New Day. This is the second of five messages in an encore presentation of a series we did about mental health in 2017. The series was inspired by a message given by Pastor Rick Warren at a mental health conference and supported by materials we purchased from Saddleback Resources. In many ways, the pandemic that led to the lockdown in 2020 has made mental health issues worse than they were when we originally presented this series. We hope these truths from God's Word help and encourage you and the people you love. If you're considering harming yourself, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. To hear more teaching from New Day, like and follow us on social media and your favorite podcast platform. To learn more about New Day, visit our website, newdaywi.com.
It's a weird week. It's a weird week. So on Tuesday, I had one of those that spiritual conversation, and then weird things have been happening on Tuesdays when I'm supposed to be having lunch with my mom. You know, a few weeks ago, I had that lady who flagged me down because I have a meeting in Mosinee every Tuesday, and then my mom lives right nearby, and I had that lady flag me down and ask me for directions to Marshfield, and so it gave me an opportunity to pray with her for her husband who's in the hospital. And I didn't expect that. And then this thing happened on Tuesday with I'm talking with this guy and praying with this guy. And then I go to have lunch with my mom, and she says, "Boy, you've been teaching about taught about mental health. You're going to teach about it again. And there's this article, that really good article that I think you should read." Now, first, I'm sorry, moms, when you say to your kids, "There's an article you should read." The first reaction might be skepticism. I'm sorry, Mom, but so already I'm going, I wonder what this article is going to be. She says, "It's an interview with Jewel." "You like the music artist?" You guys know Jewel. "Who will save my soul?" Yeah, that artist. Or, "You were meant for me, and I was meant for you." Okay. Jewel. It's an interview with Jewel. She's talking about what you're teaching about. This isn't helping my skepticism at all. Okay. But I love my mom, and she's a wise woman. So I sit down, and she hands me the magazine. Sure enough, there's Jewel on the cover. I open it up. I start reading. And I'm reading a little bit. I read a little bit more. I say, "Mom, seriously, she's talking about what I'm talking about. Jewel." It's been a weird week. It's been a weird week. Because what I'm talking about this week is our connections. We're talking about dealing with the card you're dealt. We're given certain situations that we don't have any choice in. One of the situations we don't have a choice in is, what family are we born into? We don't have that choice. We're just born into it. So Jewel is telling this story about the family that she's born into, and how she's in an alcoholic household. She's abused and neglected, and gets herself into in all kinds of trouble. This is the situation that she's in, and a lot of us find ourselves in situations where the alignment of our households is not under God's authority. It's not in balance. And an addiction will do that. Will throw things out of balance, because someone who is caught in addiction, who has given themselves over to an addiction, and I know that some of us are wrestling with addictions right now, but we're fighting it. We're in the fight. Some people have just given themselves over. The authority of God is interrupted by the authority of an addiction. It puts us out of alignment with Him. So in a family where there's an addiction, things are out of alignment, and everything has to adjust around that alignment. And love isn't what it ought to be. Love ought to be nurturing and protecting. It ought to be honoring and obeying. This is what love does. But instead, love is controlling and manipulating. It's shame It's fear. It isn't real love. It's out of alignment. Some of us learned love in that kind of situation, and we need to relearn. I can't believe I'm going to say this. The way Jewel put it, she said, you're born into a family and you learn a language, a relational language in your family. And that has to do with, like, how your family handles conflict. You know, how your family handles the different parts of a relationship. If you're born into a family that avoids conflict at all costs, that's what you learn to do in relationships, right? Makes sense? She said she had to learn a new language. She had to kind of unlearn the old and learn the new. It was something foreign to her. Now, all of us are put in situations where we learn something wrong because all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Everyone is out of alignment in some way. We've all got things that we need to relearn. The bad news about our relationships and in our connections and that card that we're dealt, there are three big problems. One is that we're all of us are imperfect. All of us are broken. The problem with that, then, is that that brokenness, that sin, it disconnects us from one another. That's what we saw in the Garden of Eden, where shame and fear had entered into the situation. Sin disconnects us, but there's a third problem. The more disconnected we are, the more fearful we become. It's a sad situation, a sad irony that you get into a relationship, you find hurt, and so you distance yourself in order to protect. And you get into a different relationship that you hope is going to be better, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And so sin enters into that, and you feel hurt, or you feel fear, or you feel shame, and so you distance yourself even further. And this is exactly the strategy the devil has for us, is that we would isolate ourselves, because he knows that it is all about relationship. We can read a conversation that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Think about your alignment. This is what Jesus is saying. Every aspect of you needs to be in alignment. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You can summarize all of life in two sentences, two commands. Love God and love your neighbor. It's all about relationship. So, if the devil's plan is to rob glory from God, is to make people created in His image operate in a way that's completely contrary to how they were designed to operate, isolation is the perfect plan. Fear driving us out of relationship takes us out of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It takes us out of loving our neighbor as ourselves. The good news is, of these cards that we're going to be talking about that you're dealt, last week was my chemistry, our physical makeup. This week is our connections. Next week is going to be our circumstances. The week after that is going to be consciousness. But all four of those cards can be transformed by the fifth card. My choices. We have choices. God has designed us, created us with choices. And this fifth card can change each card that we've been dealt. So you don't have to just sit in your circumstances. Here it comes again. Like Jewel said, you can relearn. You can learn a new language. So if you're taking notes and you're on the back of your program, I can choose to deepen my relationships. I can learn communication skills, build new healthy relationships, replacing unhealthy relationships. I can reach out. I can work on relationships. I can risk connecting. And make no mistake, it is a risk. Connecting is a risk. It's a broken world. We are going to face hurt. We are going to face rejection. The thing is, and again, if you're taking notes, if you want to write this down, the fear of rejection prevents connection. The reason you feel disconnected is your fear of being rejected, your fear of being disapproved, your fear of being hurt, your fear of others. I don't want to knock on my neighbor's door to ask for a cup of sugar. I'd rather drive down to pick and say, well, why? What's the fear? What's the fear behind that? What are they going to think of me? Maybe they'll think that I'm overbearing, or maybe they'll say no. Maybe they won't even answer their door. Maybe they'll think I'm a weirdo. Well, what about eating in the staff break room with other people who you might not know? What about participating in an outreach event? We've got one coming up in November, and I am going to encourage you to be there. I will be there, and you have heard me say it if you've been here over the last couple of months. I am not comfortable. At least I wasn't in going out and starting conversations with people that I'm intentionally trying to love them, listen to their story, discern whether or not there's an openness to a broader spiritual conversation, and then to respond if there's an openness with an invitation to know Christ more. That's a big deal for me. I was very afraid. Why? Because I've done it before and I've been rejected. I have felt rejected. It's not even the reality that I've been rejected. If someone rejects an invitation to know Christ, they're rejecting Christ. He can handle it. They're not rejecting me, but I feel rejected, and that hurts. That's my own sin, to let a fear of rejection keep me from reaching out to people. Plugging into a small group, sitting with someone I don't know at second Sunday lunch, after the second Sunday of each month, we have lunch outside these doors. Sit at a table, meet somebody you don't know, grab a snack after the service, intentionally reach out to somebody. If you've been going out there and grabbing a snack and sitting at a table alone and have been thinking, why won't someone sit with me? Maybe you need to sit with someone. I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. I hope that we have a church of people who are looking for someone who is disconnected and going to that person to help connect. I hope that we have that. So if you're here, that's my challenge for some of you here. But if you've just been sitting and waiting, maybe it's time for you to take the risk and to say, hey, can I join you guys here? For some of you, you're isolated. You're afraid to, you want a connection, but you're afraid to go on a date. Call someone. Watch a movie with a friend. I mean, just simple things. There's this fear, and where's the fear come from? A fear of rejection. A lot of times that comes from how we were taught to operate in our family of origin. The family of Christ, though, is a family that's centered on love, centered on relationship. Why don't we do these things because of fear? 1 John 4:18 The Apostle John says to a group of Christians, he says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's powerful. A theory about why that is, and I think this works, is that love looks outward. If you imagine walking into a social situation, whether it's, you know, walking into a church situation like this, or for you students in here, like walking into a school dance, or if you're walking into a work situation, a lot of times we walk in and we've kind of prepared ourselves. I'm not wearing them. I got a new pair of shoes last week. I was excited about them. They're like red suede. It's kind of like a mauve, almost like a purplish red. Well, I got those new shoes, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited to wear my new shoes. So then I looked through my clothes and was like, what's the outfit that's going to work best with these shoes, right? I'm sure I'm the only one who does this. So I found the right outfit, and I was like, man, I'm going to look so good in my shoes. So the next day, I'm walking around and just like waiting for somebody to say something about my new shoes, right? It's all coordinated here? I think I wore that to a small group, didn't I? Yeah, the sweater with the same, yeah, yes, yes. You walk into a situation, who are you typically thinking about? Me. No, you're not thinking about me. You're thinking about yourself. Each one of us is thinking about ourselves. We walk into the situation and we get like worried and we get anxiety, we get fear because we're thinking, what are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? The thing is, everybody's thinking that. They're not looking at you. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. What a relief. We're all so self-centered, we can just relax a little bit. Now, I think sometimes we get anxiety because we've made a pattern in our lives of criticizing other people as a defense mechanism for ourselves. We've made a pattern in our lives. If I can deflect people's criticism to someone else, maybe they won't be looking at me, and we assume that everyone else is doing that too, and that we're going to be a target. So we get ourselves in these patterns, or we got to unlearn those languages. Here's how love works. Love, instead of stepping into a room and thinking, what are people going to think of me? Love steps into a room and says, who needs something? Who needs to be cared for here? Who needs a word of encouragement? Love walks into a room and is looking for opportunities to nourish, to care for, to protect, to pour into other people. Yeah, love casts out fear, because instead of focusing on me and all the ways that I'm broken and all the things that people, the reasons they might have to reject me, instead of focusing on that, I'm focusing on someone else, and I'm believing that in Christ I have something to offer to them. And if they reject that, it's not even a rejection of me. I am accepted by the one who matters more than anyone else. He has secured me. I am an ambassador of heaven. I am a son of Almighty God as I walk into any room. And any idea that I have that's contrary to that is a lie from the devil. And I can continue to give in to those lies. I can continue to give in to the lies that were told me when I was growing up. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're never going to amount to anything. You're stupid. My parents didn't tell me this. I'm just saying, like some people, or maybe, in my own household, yeah, I didn't grow up with a lot of opportunity to practice conflict. So I might be afraid that if I go and tell the truth in a situation, even though I know it might cause conflict. I had a conversation with Dennis this morning about security stuff, and I was like, okay, Dennis, you might not agree with me. And I put up all these guards about what I was going to say. When I finally said it, he was like, dude. I don't think he said dude. That's what he meant, though. Relax. Just tell me. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we got to undo what's been told to us. We've got to learn. We've got to relearn. We've got to be in a situation. The way we learn love is not in a large group situation like this. The way we face fear is not by battling it with logic, because fear is illogical. Fear is illogical. You are going to be afraid of things that are not real dangers. You cannot reason against fear. What you must do is press into what you are afraid of. So if you're in here and you're afraid of social situations, what you've got to do is push yourself into social situations. This is a laboratory of love. If you're afraid of making connections, what you've got to do is get involved in a small group where you know there are going to be people there who are working on their alignment with God. Work on it together. Be in a safe environment and find that it is safe. Face your fear. I had to do that with outreach. I had to get involved in Revive Wisconsin and some of the outreach things that that they've been doing. And if that's a fear that you have got to press into it. You've got to press into it, and it will change your life as you face that fear and discover that there isn't truth behind it. My fear, what I realized as I panicked in a situation that I was afraid of as I was going out to share spiritual conversations, to love people, to just go into the community and ask, where is someone I can encourage? Where is someone I can pray for? My real fear, the bottom line was, I was afraid that if I put myself in an uncomfortable situation where I might be rejected, where I might feel awkward, my fear was that God wouldn't be there to carry me through that, to protect me. That God wouldn't be there to keep me from being so wounded that I couldn't handle it. I say it out loud, it sounds silly. Fear isn't logical. And what I discovered, even in situations where I put myself out of my comfort zone, is He is there. He loves. He loves you so much that even in your sinfulness, even in your brokenness, even in your rebellion, right where you are, He sent His Son, who has all authority. What we do here is come under His authority. We worship Him. We learn what it means to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can choose to deepen relationships, and we must. Otherwise, hell runs rampant. We are heaven's ambassadors. May God's kingdom come. May His will be done on earth, in this community, in your households, as it is in heaven. Let's pray. God, as we do enter into kind of a weird season of the year, where there's a lot of spiritual discussions going on, I pray that there'd be an openness, that there'd be open-mindedness, not an open-mindedness that allows people to be abused and dragged around by spiritual oppression and torment, but an open-mindedness that opens opportunities for us to have conversations like I had this week, to let people know that Jesus Christ has authority over all, that there is nothing to be afraid of when we come under your protection, God, when we come under your forgiveness, when we come under your kingdom. I pray, God, that indeed anyone in here who has not come under your authority would surrender to you today, would say in their mind and in their heart, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. I believe he died so my sins could be forgiven. I believe he rose from the dead, that he showed authority over death, and I come under that authority. I call him the Lord and the King of my life. God, may we be led by Jesus into fearful situations in order to undo that fear and see that perfect love casts out all fear. In Jesus' name, amen.